Amen. Well, shake hands with the person beside you, give them a hug, and tell them thank you you're coming. Well, good evening. I'm Pastor Chris. So glad you came out tonight on this beautiful Wednesday evening. I got some good news for you tonight. We're going to look into the Word of God. Everybody receive a handout? Everybody get a handout? Just raise your hand, the ushers will get you one. Everybody got one? What do you say, Pastor Chris, there's only one page tonight. Well, it's the final of American Idol. So I'm going to get you out of here. Who's it going to be? The guy or the girl? Huh? What, nobody watches American Idol? Philip? I like Philip. I think he's a Christian kid. I hope so. Yeah, I like that. So, all right. We're going to get right into it tonight, guys. If you will, Pastor John left off last week at Galatians 3. We're going to pick it up right at the end of Galatians 3 and start at verse 29. Verse 29 of Galatians. Chapter 3. It says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Hallelujah. How many of you belong to Christ? You've made Him your Lord and Savior. Huh? How many of you have done that? If you're in Christ, you're a new creature, a new creation. Man, I'm so glad that I'm His and that He's mine. Because I can recall what it was like before I had Christ Jesus. And it was lonely. It was messed up. But I'm so glad that I have Him now. He's in me and I'm in Him. It's good to know that He purchased us, bought us, and we're paid for in full. Amen? If we are in Christ, then you've been bought and paid for in full. We're not on some layaway program, okay, until we get to heaven. He's bought us, He's purchased us, and He's paid for us in full. When He said that it is finished, He meant it is finished. There's nothing left outstanding on you or me. That's good news, amen? Amen. I'm so glad of that. I remember growing up, and I grew up in the 70s, okay, and I remember about the end of July, my mom would take us school shopping. Okay? And we would go to JCPenney. That was the thing back then. And my parents didn't have much. But we would go school shopping the end of July. We'd pick out all the clothes that we like. But they would have to go on layaway. My parents didn't have the money to pay for them all at that time. So we would pick out the clothes we want, and then they would go on layaway. And each week or at the end of the month, my mom and dad would put a little money towards it until it was time for school. And then we went in there and made the final payment on it. They held them. And then we made the final payment. We were able to take them. They were actually ours. Okay? I remember growing up in Zillionople, on the corner was Steffler Schwinn Bicycle Shop. And I can remember wanting a brand new red MBX mountain bike. And I can remember putting money down on it. It was on a layaway program. Now, layaway to some of you might not even remember what that is. Okay? But I put money down, and each month when I got paid for doing chores and stuff, I'd put a little money down. But here's what I want you to see, is I'd go into that, and it wasn't mine yet, I put money down, but I'd go look in that window each and every day after school seeing that red shiny bike, and I'd look through there and saying, that's mine. That's mine. Now, I didn't get it, so I put that last $40 to $50 down on it, and when I took that out, I was a happy camper. Okay? But a lot of people think that we're on some layaway program, that we can't receive all God's benefits. His promises don't pertain to us until we get to heaven. And we're not on some layaway program. He's bought and paid for us in full. Everything that God has provided for you and I is available to you right now. Right now here on this earth. You know, the layaway program's done away with because of credit cards. Okay? Nowadays, you can go pay with a credit card, take it immediately out of the shop, take your clothes immediately out. What happens is, though, is you wear them out, You wear them and they tear them and you haven't even got the first statement yet. And people don't want to pay for it anymore. Okay? And that's where we get in trouble. We're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about being bought and paid for in full. Okay? If you are in Christ, and it looked like a lot of you were by raising your hands, if you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you've accepted Him into your life, you've been born again. We use that term born again or born anew. What's that mean, born anew? Born again. I get a second chance. And I tell you this about our God. He gives second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, as many chances as you need. Our God is faithful. Okay? He's faithful. And He never gives up on you. So I don't know how you came in here tonight. And I don't know your circumstances, but He does. And I know what the message He's prepared tonight that He had me look into and wants to share with you. And if you allow Him, He'll speak right to your problem. He'll share with you tonight exactly what you need. Don't be limited by what Pastor Chris shares tonight. You open yourself to His Word and to His presence through His anointing and through the Word. You've been paid for in full. When Jesus said it was finished, it was a done deal, that was a promise. And when God promises something, you can take it to the bank. It's not like when we promise something and we hope the person comes through. I promise things and haven't been able to fulfill them. Not that I don't want to. For some unforeseen circumstance, I wasn't able to fulfill. God always fulfills His promises. It says in His Word that all His promises are yes and amen. There's never, well, you know, not this time, not an iffy, not no son, no daughter. All yes and amen. That's good news, right? I'm going to share lots of good news with you tonight if you're ready to receive it. You are valuable and precious in His sight. He's paid a lot for you and I. He's paid a lot for you and I. When He bought and paid for you guys, you are valuable and precious in His sight. We sing this song, "Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. What more could He give? He gave His life." That should speak volumes to you and I. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He cares for you. That's how precious and valuable you are to our Father. Paul is telling us in chapter 3, verse 29, that we are heirs according to the promise. What promise? Well, remember, Pastor John shared last week that we're talking about grace. Galatians is about grace, not works, not deeds, not things that you can do. Grace is God's unmerited favor, but it's also His ability and empowerment to do what we couldn't do in and of ourselves. That's good news, right? That's good news, and it's by faith. So where you leave off, where you can take it as far as you can go, that's when God's grace comes in. And He takes it above and beyond what you could ask, think, or even imagine. Okay? God's enablement, His empowerment to do in you and me what we couldn't do in and of ourselves. That's really good news. Okay? And we're talking about grace, and we're talking about it being God's ability, God's enablement. Let's go back to Galatians 2:20. It's a very important verse that we need to know as Christians. If you just flip back a couple pages, Galatians 2:20 reads, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." I like this distilled version. You probably never heard this before, but listen to this version of that same verse, Galatians 2:20. "I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body." Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool, guys? You know, it says, now we know the scripture in Ephesians where it says that we're seated with Him in heavenly places, right now, in Christ Jesus. That verse just confirms it. I have been crucified with Christ. Okay? Old things are passed away. All things have become new. The old Chris Palmer, done away with. The new Chris Palmer has Christ Jesus in him. Okay? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm a new creation. I have a second chance. I've been born again. Born anew. So what this is saying is that we were separated. We were apart from the family of God. But now that we're born again or born anew, we've been born into the family of God And we are no longer a slave or separated, but we're a child of God. An heir of God. And that's where we're going to look at tonight. That's going to be the emphasis of the message is that you and I, in Christ Jesus, are heirs of God. Okay? So go along with me with this. It tells you right there in Galatians 3:29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, here's the definition of the word heir. The definition is inheritor, possessor, entitled, a lot, meaning, you know, you've heard people say, well, this is my lot for life. I guess I just get up every Monday, go to work till Friday, and then do it again on Monday. No. Your lot is a whole lot more special than that. And it also is defined as a part, like you have a part of it. So, we could say that if you are in Christ Jesus, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are an inheritor, or you are a possessor, or you are entitled to. Well, I like that. What am I entitled to? Well, let's take a look at it and see what find out. I mean, that should spark an interest in you. If you're an heir, then you're entitled to something. Okay, Pastor Chris, don't leave us hanging. What am I entitled to as a Christian? Okay? Let's read chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. That's in your notes there. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Let's take a look at that. We'll go a little bit through here and define a little bit and then read on. It says that as we as heirs, as a child, do not differ at all from a slave. I'll use my son. I have a daughter, Lydia, and my son's Christian. Christian's 4. He just graduated last night from preschool. That's cool. But that was special to me and Jajer. Little guy graduating from preschool. But anyhow, he was born into the Palmer family. Okay? He has characteristics of Christopher and of Jerry. Okay? And he looks somewhat like me. He acts somewhat like me in the good parts. I won't go there with the other parts. No, I'm just kidding. But because he was born into the family, he has privileges. There's things that are his that he isn't even aware of. He's not even aware of it. That boy lives so carefree. I mean, I love it because he just gets up in the morning and he wants to play. And he just wants to run, and he just wants to jump, and he wants to go on an adventure each and every day. I love it. Not a care in the world. Okay? Really, that's how you and I are to live. Not a care in this world. Why? Because we were bought and paid for in full. We are a child of the Most High God. We lack no good thing. No good thing. He has amply supplied us for this thing called life. Really has. And I want to share this with you tonight, that you look at it, you get a heaven's perspective. Okay? Sometimes we look at it from the world's perspective. We look at it like from where we're at right now. Listen, I said to you, Ephesians says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. We need to be looking at it from our heavenly standpoint. We need to be looking at it from where we are really located. Not down here. Okay? So, let's look at it a little bit further. It says that we, even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. I want to go back a second there. Christian has some privileges and he has some rights as a child of Christopher and Jerry Palmer. But don't you know, I'm not giving him the car keys. Although he would take them. His little legs couldn't even get down to the gas pedal if they wanted to. But he'd figure out some way to stand there and, you know. But he has a lot of things coming to him. He has a lot of things that are available to him. But being a little child, 4 years old, he can't handle them right now. It's not to say that they aren't his, but he just can't handle them. I want to encourage you. to come back this weekend and all this month to hear Pastor John's messages. And I'll address that a little bit later about growing up into what is already yours, to what is made available to you right now. It says that at the appointed time by the Father, even so when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. What's that mean, under the elements of the world? It means by its standards. Okay, at one time, you and I, recall back, one time we were in bondage to the things of this world. We moved and grew by what happened around us, right? One day we're up, next day we're down, we're moved by this circumstance and that circumstance. We have an up day, a bad day, we get mad very easily, we get upset, we get offended. Hey, that should have been the old way of living. We have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We can learn how to do this by looking at our model or our example, Lord Jesus Christ. He went through some things, right? Always came out on top. Always was well prepared. Never got frustrated. Never got flustered. Never came up short. He's our example. He's our model. We can do it the same as Him if we just understand who we are in Christ. It says, let's go on. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, Jesus, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are an heir through Christ. I want to read another scripture there. You have it in your notes. It confirms. The Word confirms the Word. So if you read Romans 8, 15 to 17, let's read that and then we'll go back here. I want you to see in the scriptures there in verse 5 of chapter 4, it says to receive the adoption as sons. Let's look back now at Romans 8, 15 to 17. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. What that is saying, what's that meaning, guys, is that's how we used to live. Remember what it was like before Christ Jesus? Remember what it was like before you found out who you were in Christ? We were fearful of everything. Maybe you're there tonight. You don't have to be fearful anymore. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Okay? Okay, so it says you did not receive a spirit of bondage again. So it means that we had that at one time, but we've been delivered from that. But you received the spirit of adoption. There it is again. That adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. It sounds exactly like the verse in chapter Galatians 4, 7. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. There we go again. There's that heir thing. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Guys, if you don't get nothing else out of this message tonight, I want you to hear this, and I want you to be able to receive it, and I'm going to try to explain it in a short period of time as clearly and as best that I know. I'm an illustration guy. I like to paint pictures. That's how I receive. I know it's a guy thing, but I'm sure that I'm going to be able to portray this to you. As I share a message whenever I'm on mission trips about adoption, because it's so important for you and I to know our rights as being adopted into the family of God and being called His sons and daughters. Adoption, it means that we were out there. Now we're in here. We were out, now we're in. Adoption means this, guys, engrafted. Have you ever heard that word, engrafted? Jerry and I have an orchard. We have fruit trees, okay? And you can take a peach tree, okay, and I can cut off real cleanly a branch, and I can go over to our plum tree, and I can take my grafting knife, and I can cut an opening in that plum tree, and I can insert the peach branch into that plum tree. You ever hear about that? It's called engrafting in there. What you do then is you close that incision, okay, put some pruning sealant around that. And what happens is, guys, is that peach branch takes the very life out of that plum. It starts absorbing the very life of that plum. What you get is plum peaches. Plum peaches. Okay? What happens is the peach branch now has become a plum in the plum tree. It was different. Remember now, it's a it's a peach, you're putting it into a plum tree, you're not going to get just plums because it's a peach branch. Okay? And what God has done has taken us, this is found in Romans 11, you can go study it for yourself, we don't have time to get into it. What He's done is taken us as Gentiles, as people separated from Him, obscure from Him, and He's taken us, when you said, yes, Jesus, come into my life, He's taken you, the peach branch, He's engrafted you into the main branch. You can find that in John chapter 15 also. And He's taken you, and now you've been engrafted into Jesus Christ. And the very life that God that was in Jesus Christ is now flowing through you and I. Well, I'm not going to get an amen for that. Come on, man. That ought to get you excited. Listen, hey, you're out here alienated. Come on now, you might be there tonight. You were out here separated. What God did when you said, yes, I do, I receive. You raised your hand and said, I want to receive Christ Jesus. He took you out here all by your lonesome self, your messed up life. He engrafted you into the very life of God. You have the very life of God dwelling inside you. It should be dissolving sickness and disease, growths and tumors. His very life that flowed through Jesus Christ flows through your mortal bodies now. You've been given the mind of Christ. You have the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. You are as He is. Hallelujah. Now I can start running around, but the very life of God dwells inside you. When you were adopted, you know what? We don't look at it like this sometimes, but when a family adopts a child, the minute they sign those papers and the minute they really make the commitment to do so, they are as that family is the same as the blood child. We don't think of it that way. But it is. That child has every right and privilege is the same as the one born to them. If done properly, done rightly. So I got to keep moving on. All right? Let's look at this a little bit more in depth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone who is in Christ, he or she is a new creation, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. What's new? Well, now that I'm in Christ, I'm His. Everything's new. And I love John 16, verses 14 to 15. Jesus said, we're talking about what's new, what's been made available to me. I'm a son and daughter of God, what's mine? Jesus said that all that the Father has is mine. He's saying that about Himself. All that the Father has is mine. Now we see that in Jesus' life. He never lacked one thing. He never came up short. But what we fail to recognize is the greater one who dwells inside you and I. The same as God dwelled inside Jesus and He was amply supplied for every need, He dwells inside you and I. Amen? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I am not who I used to be. Now, we need to grow in that. And that's what Pastor John's addressing in this next weekend, next series. He's talking about growing up. Okay? Growing up and becoming mature. But all that the Father has been made available unto you and I. When He engrafted us into Him, His very being, everything that the Father has been made available unto you and I. That's very good news. That's a whole lot more than I had when I didn't have Him. When I didn't have Him, I can remember, man, people thought Chris had it together. But when I went home at night, before Jerry, when I went home at night and laid in that bed, alone, messed up, I can remember that. Don't ever forget what it was like before you came to Christ Jesus. And now, the life that you have. You say, well, Pastor Chris, my life isn't a whole lot different than when I got saved before that. Well, that's just a sign we need to grow up. We need to mature. Nobody's cast any condemnation, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What that should be is an encouragement. And I'm here to tell you, I like to encourage people and exhort them, you can do it. If He did it for Pastor Chris, He can do it for you. Okay? So your life that you think is so messed up and you think is so far gone, it's never too far gone for our God. Never too far gone. With our God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible to those that believe. I'm a believer. You're a believer. You're a believer. Say, I'm a believer. Hallelujah. He's already set you up. Now, we can see the benefit of this in Christ Jesus. If we read the Gospels, which I challenge you, you should be reading the Gospels and the epistles all the time, that our example, our model is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us in Ephesians 5:1 that we are to imitate Him. Imitate Him. How in the world can you and I imitate the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't know what He would say, what He would do, and how He would act towards other people? I'm here to tell you the Gospels are very clear. It tells you what He thought about situations. It tells you exactly what He said in certain circumstances. And it tells you what He did. Okay? So that is our model. That is our example. And we have been modeled in His image. Okay? We are engrafted into His very life. He is our example. But He was God's Son, Pastor Chris. That was God's Son. I could see it in Jesus' life, but what about me? I'm here to tell you, you're God's Son too. You're His daughter. You need to start looking at yourself as if you really are. And take your place. We, the body of Christ, have been passive. We live in apathy. And we allow things to happen around us. We need to take our place. We need to stand up for what's right. And I'm going to show you that in the Scriptures here. Paul addresses it very clear to the Galatians. The theme of Galatians is it's all about grace. And Pastor John laid that out. And he'll continue this next week. So please come back. But we didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to strive and toil to get it. We were born into it. Just like Christian didn't have to work. To, listen, that kid's not working towards anything. Yet. As soon as I get him pulling weeds, though, he will be. Whatever you're lacking, whatever you're in need of, whenever you need help with, remember, it's all been made available to you through Christ Jesus. Remember your position. Remember your standing with Him. You were born into it in Christ Jesus. Now, the caution is please do not allow the law, the works, or the deeds to come into play. And this is where we're going to go. Paul's going to address this in Galatians 5:1. Do not allow the law, we've been redeemed, okay? We looked at that last week. Works, I got to do it, I got to strive, I got to obtain it, I got to get there. Or deeds, meaning I do this so much, I do that so much, and then I got my right standing. No, it's not based on that. Don't allow that to come in play. Here's an illustration. You're out on a football field, everything's going good, okay? You're moving forward. You've got good plays going on over on the sideline, or deeds, and the works, and the law, and they're always crying out, get me involved, let me play, let me play. Let me come in there. Let me get in there and play with you guys. Don't allow it. Don't allow the deeds, the work, or any of that law to come into your game plan, because it'll just mess you up. It'll just trip you up and entangle you, Paul says. Keep those things at bay, at a distance. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ Jesus has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So, it's saying that one time we've been entangled, and we don't like yokes. Yokes are heavy. Okay? So Jesus came to redeem us. He came to destroy those yokes and those burdens. And we are called not to be entangled again. Let's not go back to the way we used to be. And that's the caution is don't allow deeds, works, okay, in the law to come back into play in your, in my life. You know, entangled means twisted. So it says, Paul's exhorting you and I, do not be entangled again. Do not be twisted. Twisted is wicker. Jerry and I have a garden center also, and we used to sell wicker furniture. And you don't know what that is. It's all bound up and twisted and turned very tight, and it makes a very strong thing. You start peeling it away, it's very weak. But when you start turning and twisting it so you can't hardly even separate it, that's called wicker furniture. That's wicked. That's what the devil does to you and I. Gets us so twisted and turned that we can't see straight. We can't act straight. And we think we can't get out of it. Recognize it. Know that that's not from God. And we will not allow ourselves to be entangled with His schemes and His devices. Amen? We've been delivered from that. I'm a child of God. You're a son and daughter of God. I don't have to be entangled. I don't have to be twisted. I don't have to be ruled and reigned by the wicked one any longer. Amen? When you think of Galatians 5:1, an illustration I'll share with you, because I like illustrations, is to think of the Statue of Liberty. And I'll share with you why. There's two sights that I love in this nation. One is, I love on a beautiful blue sky today, like today, seeing the flag fly. The bigger the flag, the better. I think that's one of the most beautiful sights there are, is a flag flying in the wind and the blue sky, red, white, and blue. Another one I think is the Statue of Liberty. I just think of what those immigrants thought when they come in over those boats over those long, long period of time ago and saw that lady stand there with the torch. And I can't think of what this nation would look like if we went to New York City, and I've observed it many times, been up to it, what it would look like if that lady was not standing anymore. So what I want you to think about, let's read that verse again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why I'm saying relate that to the Statue of Liberty is because stand. We're to be standing. And when we've done all to stand, we are to stand. And we can do it because greater is He is in us than He is in the world. We've been bought and paid for. So you think of the Statue of Liberty, you think of standing. In the liberty, in the land of liberty. Think about what those immigrants thought about. We don't even think about it anymore. Think about it. They thought when they got on foot on this land, when they saw her standing there, man, I got the land of liberty. I'm going to be able to be free. I'm going to be able to do something with my life. I'm going to be able to accomplish something. And then it says freedom. This is the land of freedom. Don't ever let no one steal that from you, that this is the land of freedom. I've been in a lot of third world nations, and I'll tell you what, this still is the greatest land to live in. It's still the greatest nation to live in. If you don't believe that, you go to one of those third world countries and come back and tell me if it's different. This is still a great country to live in. And in Christ Jesus, I would say to you, and a lot of people would differ with me on this, but this is still a Christian nation. Because you and I are still here. And we're still standing. Now, we've given up some ground. We've given up some territory. But we can take it back just as easily. Amen? In Christ Jesus, we can do it. So, when you read that verse, stand fast therefore, my brothers and sisters, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Think of the Statue of Liberty. Just put that image in your mind. I'm standing up in Christ Jesus. I'm free. I have liberty in Christ Jesus. And I'm His. I'm His. I've been bought and paid for. Okay? I'm not going to allow the old self to get me tripped up. I'm not going to allow it to get me entangled with the yoke of bondage. I'm not a slave anymore to this world and its ways. We're in it, but not of it. Amen? Just as Jesus was in it, but not of it. You and I are the same. Check yourself out, guys. If the world is doing it, if the world in whole is doing it, and you're observing the world, it's not to say that it's a bad thing, but you might want to step back and check it out. You might want to step back and check it out. If the world's doing it, good chances are you and I should not be doing those things. We should be separated from this world. Now, we still live in here, but we should be living a separated life. Amen? Okay? Verse 4 of chapter 5. It says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. You have become estranged from Christ. We don't want to get caught up in the things of this world and the way they do things. We want to be and do all that God's purpose for you and I to do. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is by His grace, by His enablement, and by His empowerment. It takes all the pressure off of you and I. If my God's for me, who can stand against me? Amen? So He is for us, because He bought and paid for us. And His enablement, His empowerment, God's grace, can help you accomplish everything that He's called you to be and to do. Verse 6. It says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." I want to concentrate on the last part of that verse, verse 6. But faith working through love. This is another indicator of our faith, is our love walk. And a lot of people are missing it here. I can tell you for many years I missed it in this. Our faith works and operates by love, just like it did for our Father. Just as God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, God's faith operated and functioned by love. And if His did, how much more so are we to be operating and functioning by the love of God? There are so many people out there saying, "Oh man, if I just had more faith. If I just had the faith of so-and-so," and we should never compare ourselves to someone else. There are people saying, I don't even know if I have faith, Pastor Chris. I can assure you, because God has purchased you, Jesus purchased you, if you're a born-again Christian, you've been born anew, you have the measure of faith. Romans 12:3 says that He's given unto you and I the measure of faith. You have enough faith right now in you. The minute that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have enough faith in you to do anything God's called you to do and to be. It isn't a matter of you need more faith. It isn't a matter of comparing your faith to someone else. The issue is developing that faith that you have. Being aware, first of all, you have it. Just like Christian, there's things that he has that he's not even aware of. But through daddy and mommy showing him things and walking through it with him, he's going to develop in those things. Okay? Just the same as you and I should be doing. All right? Our faith is activated by love. Our faith works and operates by love. A couple of illustrations. Just as our car, our vehicles operate by fuel, gas, you run out of gas, you're not going anywhere. Just like our bodies operate on food. Don't go for a while for food, a couple days. For me, it'd be 2 days. Okay? I start feeling it. And I'm going to be like wore down. And I'm not going to be able to accomplish and do everything I'm called to do. Your faith is the same way. It operates in function. It is fueled by love. And so if you're out of whack, or if things aren't going the way you know they should be, and your faith is not operating the way you know it to be from the Word of God, we should be checking out our love walk. Okay? Because our faith operates by love. This is a good indicator of where our faith is. Faith seem weak? How's your love walk? Is your faith not operating, you know, the way you know it should be? How's your love walk? Remember, we are God's children. We're His sons and daughters. We live and have our being in Him. So the very life of God, His very being, is flowing through these mortal bodies. And He tells us in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been shed abroad and you're in my heart. Well, if that's the case, when we know it to be, that's a promise, then I can love just like He loves. Amen? You can. Now that might be foreign to you, and that might be new to you. But, oh man, the love of God. Once you have an understanding, oh, how much He loves you. How much He loves you, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God. You'll look at life completely different. There will be nothing that can affect you and to keep you down and keep you discouraged and keep you separated, because God loves you. He's for you. I didn't say that it was going to be easy. Walking in love all the time. I'm sure it wasn't easy for Jesus. I didn't say it was going to be convenient to walk in love all the time. But we can do it. We can do it, guys. Verse 13. "For you, brethren and sisters, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Serve one another. Now I got a song for everything. Drives my wife crazy. Remember Bob Dylan? How many remember Bob? Everybody's got to serve somebody. Everybody's got to serve somebody. I should hold my nose. That would really sound like him even more. I don't know if old Bob got it right or not, but you know what? That verse is saying we need to serve somebody. Okay? It's not talking about serving God. It's talking about because we are His that we serve one another. I'm here to tell you guys, I'm the care pastor here. I see a lot of hurting people. If you're in a funk, or you think, man, life just stinks, you want to get out of that? Go serve somebody. Go help somebody. Go put your arm around somebody. Tell them, hey man, we're going to make it. We're going to do this thing. And I'll tell you what, your problems will fall to the wayside. That's walking in love. And you can do it. And there's no greater life than that. There's no greater life than helping someone that doesn't think that they can make it. Because you can make it. Okay? And this is a church that'll help you make it. This is a church that'll walk side by side with you. It doesn't matter how far down and out you are. We're here for you. We will help you. And you will come up out. Amen? You will come up out. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I used to think that my neighbor, when we live out in the country, okay, country, we've got like three neighbors around us, okay? We live out on a farm. That's not what that's talking about. That's not your neighbor that lives next door to you. A neighbor is whoever's near you, wherever you are. So, your neighbor right now is the person sitting right beside you, behind you, and in front of you. Your neighbor is, when you're in Walmart in a checkout line, the girl checking you out, and the guy's behind you, and the one that's taking forever in front of you. Wherever you're at. Your neighbor is that girl that's taking forever to bring your food out, and the one in the back that maybe didn't cook it right. Your neighbor is the people that are around you. And it's telling us that we shall love our neighbor as ourself and fulfill the law. Wait a minute, Pastor Chris. I thought we'd been redeemed from the law. Verse 13 brings up the law again. What law? The law of Christ. And we're going to end it on this. The law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Turn with me to Galatians 6:2. Well, it's in your notes there. Galatians 6:2, one of my favorite verses. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, I know you're all law-abiding citizens out there, and you want to fulfill the law, and there is only one law now in the New Testament. It's Galatians 6:2, is to bear one another's burdens. You can't do that without walking in love. And it isn't an issue of faith, guys. You got all the faith you'll ever need. It's not an issue of faith. It's an issue of you stepping out and believing that God is who He said He is, and He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Hebrews 11:6. And I'm telling you here tonight, guys, that you want to see God move in your behalf. You want to see Him show Himself strong on your behalf. We all want that. We want to see the gifts in manifestation, in operation. Start turning to the people around you and helping them, loving them, caring for them. It's that simple. It's that simple. Just loving people, caring for them, being there when they need you, not when it's convenient. I'm sure it wasn't convenient for Jesus to go to the cross. I'm sure it wasn't convenient when they were stoning Him and pulling His beard out and doing all the things He did. But He so loved you and I that He did those things. And when He did that, when He humbled Himself to the point of the cross, what's it say? God exalted Him to the highest position. I found this out about our God. That when you humble yourself before Him and say to Him, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to do whatever You need me to do. He'll take you from that rummage. He'll take you from that heap of garbage life that you've had, He'll turn your life around. He'll raise you up, make something out of you. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. Praise God. We need to put ourselves in remembrance constantly of who we are and what He's done. You know, I was raised in a Baptist church, and there was a communion table right up front there. I'll never forget because I stared at it every Sunday. Put yourself in remembrance. That's what we do whenever we take communion. I put myself in remembrance each and every day of what my Father did for me and what my Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for me. I put myself into remembrance. We need to do that of who we are and what He's done. So if you find yourself struggling, guys, standing still, because we were never meant to stand still, or even moving backwards, remember the greater one dwells inside you. The greater one dwells inside you, and He's looking to advance you, increase you, and moving you forward. He never takes you back. He never makes you sit idle. God's always about advancing, increasing, and moving forward. Life in abundance. John 10:10. So, when you find those things happening and you find yourself struggling, it's a good indicator to look at your faith, look at your love walk, look and see where you're at. Okay? And then, speak out loud. Speak out loud. The first song we sang tonight couldn't have went with the message any better, right? I'm an heir. I'm more than a conqueror. Shout it. Quit being so timid. Wait a minute, world. I'm not of you anymore. Hey, devil. I'm a child of the Most High God. Everything that is His is mine. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me and you. Back off, devil. Back off. Say it like you mean it. I use the illustration of Jerry just cleaned the kitchen. I've come in with muddy shoes on before. She'd be telling me, back off. Get out of here. Chasing me with the broom. Well, devil comes knocking on your door. Do something about it. Stand up and do something about it. Speak to him. Take your stand and allow God's unmerited grace to change your situation. Amen? It's not about you. It's about saying what He says about you. Amen? All right. 8 o'clock. How was that? Thank you, Lord. I thought I would go over. Hey, a lot of people, I don't think this, but a lot of people say, and we hear it all the time, we go to restaurants, they say, man, you remind me of Joel Osteen. You look like Joel Osteen. So, I'm going to give you a little Joel Osteen right now. Did you receive? I know you did. I know you did. And we never like to end our broadcast without giving you the opportunity to receive Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So bow your head, close your eyes. You're not sitting in front of the boob tube. Okay? It's between you and God. All right? Lord, thank You. Thank You for all You've done for us. Thank You, Lord. Oh, we praise You. We give You glory and honor. We thank You for Your precious promises. We thank You for Your truths, which You revealed to us tonight. I thank You, Lord. I know this about You right now, that You're moving on hearts. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You. Thank You, thank You. You may be here tonight. You didn't realize a whole lot of things that I was talking about. You maybe never accepted Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You maybe never said, I want a new start. I want a second chance. Tonight is your night, guys. He's called you here. You're here for a reason. You're not here by happenstance. Don't resist Him. Don't resist Him. He's made it easy for you and I. He's done it all. He's already bought and paid for you in full. You just need to accept it. You just need to receive it as a gift. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. And I'd ask you, If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you would like that gift tonight, hey, everybody's heads are down, the eyes are closed. This is just between you and God. I'd ask you to just slip up your hand real quick. That's me, Pastor Chris. I need a second chance. I want to start over. I want what you're talking about. I'd like to be adopted into the family of God. It's available to you guys. Listen, we're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what will take place. But I can tell you, you are brought here tonight. Do not resist the Lord Jesus Christ. So if that's you, and you'd like for me to pray for you and the whole church to pray for you, nobody's going to set you out, nobody's going to make you come forward, just slip up your hand real quick and put it right back down. We'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Anybody else? Don't resist Him. He's for you. He's for you. He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. There's nothing that He wouldn't do for you. Anybody else? Okay, for those who raised their head, keep your eyes closed and your head bowed, guys. I'd ask the whole church to pray this out loud with me. You say it out loud, you who raised your hand. And I can assure you, Lord Jesus Christ will come into your heart, into your life. He will create a new person, a new being inside you. And your life will never be the same. Repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I need you. I need your help. Thank you for bringing me here tonight. Thank you for giving me another opportunity. Thank you for adopting me into your family. I decree that my life will never be the same. I thank you that you purchased me. You bought me and paid for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I choose to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you and praise you for this church. I thank you and praise you for your word, for your presence tonight. I thank you for those who made that decision, Father. That is the most important decision they'll ever make. I thank you, Lord, that you promised you would never leave nor forsake them now, and that you will see them through, Father. I thank you and praise you that you allow them to know how much you love them, Father, and that we're here for them as a church. And I thank you for all that you're going to do in and through us, Father. We give you all the glory and the honor, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Rach, I'm going to close you out. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rachel Reed. I'm the children's director here. If you're here for the first time tonight, we just want to...